We're so glad that you're here. My name's Big John. I'm Allison's daddy, and Anna's daddy, and Joshua's daddy. We have no idea where Levi is, but I'm his daddy too. Sarah's wife. Sarah's... Close. There's my wife. Y'all got to let me slide every once in a while on something, right? Every once in a while I say something weird. Hey, but look, if you're at Christ Community Church, a couple things. One, I hope you'll be comfortable. You're welcome here. We're glad you're here. We don't know where you came from. We don't all know where you're going. But we're glad that you're here right now. Okay? We ask you just be present right here, right now. See what God would say to you. We're going to sing praise songs. This band is phenomenal. They're awesome. I love them. I missed them last week. I wasn't here last week, and I miss them when I'm not here. But they are not here to perform for us. They are here to lead us to worship God, who alone is worthy of worship. That's what they're here for. But as we're worshiping God, who knows what might stick in your mind? Would you say, thank you, Lord, for that insight. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you, Lord, for telling me that or letting me hear that. During the sermon, I do some weird things, but I'm not here to entertain us. I'm here to bring us the word that you might hear something from the word and that your life might be changed for the glory of God. Amen? But in order for that to happen, you got to let go of whatever happened yesterday and whatever happened this morning. You got to stop worrying about whatever's going to happen tomorrow or later on. You got to be present right here, right now to hear God. Can we do that? Well, then we're going to have an awesome time. Let me pray for us, and we're going to start up. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And Lord, we love you too. We might not always know how to express it. But Lord, we do love you. Everything that we all have, we have because you've given. Any hope we have is because you've given us hope. And so, Lord, help us to all be on the same team, look at you and say, wow, you're awesome. May this worship time be glorifying to you, beneficial to us. And Lord, we give ourselves into your hands afresh today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake!
about us. It's not about our program. It's not about our maturity. It's not about our strength and growth and every other thing about us. There's somebody else who is far more famous, far more renowned. It's Him. It's about His glory. Amen. It's about coming to where we say it's about Him and nobody else. Nobody is second place. No one beside Him. Nobody above Him or around Him. Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Well, let's continue. We'll praise Him.
Song. We've done this song for a long time in Crestwood. And, you know, all the music that we, you know, sometimes the words just jump out at you and speak to you. Maybe some more than others sometimes. To me, this song, the words, there's just about not anything out there that beats the words of this song. I mean, it covers everything. So, think about the words of this one.
going to be on the stage, Mr. Bill? I'm going to move. Let's help me move the podium. Y'all, we're going to have our youngins come up here and sing. We're going to just back over here so everybody can get pictures of their youngins. Don't do that. What are you doing? Y'all, did you follow the words of that song like Shauna talked to you about? It's so exciting to me, the gospel message. That was just the gospel message. It went from born of a virgin to dying on the cross to rising from the dead. Look, a lot of people are born, and everybody that's born dies usually, right? But Christ, he died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. I don't know about y'all, but that just gets me. That's where the celebration comes in. That's where we just say, hallelujah, amen, no one like him. He's declared with power to be the Son of God through the resurrection. And this is just an awesome thing. Mr. Bill, you come up. I'm just talking until you come up. If you don't come up, I got to keep talking. That song was so good, it got me saying the oh, oh's too. I was like, found myself over here going, oh, 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 oh. You know a song gets you singing the oh's. preaching? All right, good. Good. Make sure I'm doing right. Got my beard ready for preaching. All right, Nani's class, are we ready? Break. If you're in Nani's class, if you know who Nani is, you're in their class probably. There we go. Children's church, yeah. We're going. This is Nani's class is for folks visiting. It's 4-year-olds, the kindergarten, you know, right in that stage. And then the children's church is 1st grade to 6th grade. And so they go back there and they sing and hang out. And, okay. All right, there we go. We got to, anyways, this is a pretty awesome thing. It's a pretty awesome thing to have our kiddos in church. I know we're kind of different, but we're different in a way that our kiddos like coming to church. And we don't do things just for our kiddos' liking or entertainment and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. People, all of us, formed a lot of the ideas we have about life, about God, about this world by the time we were 12 years old. I don't know if you know that. A lot of stuff's already in place by the time we get that old. And we want to reach them. We want to tell them about Jesus. We don't want to be, we're not ashamed of it, you know. And so we want to tell them about it. And we want to incorporate them. And I just love it. I love what, you know, Mr. Bill and Miss Kim, they work with our kiddos and they plan this stuff out. They got my oldest son, who's 15, working on 16, trying to get his permit, up here slapping his lap with a cowboy hat on in front of a big old group. And he's kind of my, you know, that's something right there. That, to me, that's the power of God. That might not mean a whole lot to y'all, you know, but that's just something right there. He was up there kind of, I was watching him all the time in like an amazement. Imagine like the Israelites looking at the Red Sea when it split, you know. They're like, whoa, check that out. I'm sitting there, and Levi, my other son, we're both sitting there staring at Josh going, whoa, did you see that? That's pretty awesome right there. That's pretty good. But anyway, praise God. Look, we're going through the book of Mark, preaching through the book of Mark, and we're in Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to go through and read verses 30 through 50. There may be parts in all this series, because I'm covering a lot of Scripture. There may be parts that you think should be emphasized that I don't emphasize. That's okay. You go ahead and read them and emphasize them yourself in your private study. I'm going to hit where I feel like God wanted me to hit. And do the best that we can, okay? And so let me read that for us, and then we'll start off. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 50. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples, and he said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the 3rd day. But they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, he called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." And Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better if you enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into fire that shall never be quenched. where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame, rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Now, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. And I pray that as we go through it and we hear, that you would open our ears, open our mind, our heart to what you would have us to hear. And Father, that you would furthermore, you would grow us. That you would show us how it is we can take the next step. That you'd show us how it is we might glorify you through applying your word to our life. Father, we don't want to just hear it and be hearers of the word. We want to hear it and be doers of the word. So, Father, give us that strength to apply your word to our heart. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to verse 30, in verse 30 through 32, Jesus is again telling his disciples the gospel message. And y'all listen, the gospel is our foundation. It's foundational to everything we do. Jesus is telling the disciples for the third time in the Gospel of Mark about this same thing. He is going to be rejected, betrayed by men, killed, and rise again the third day. They still really didn't understand what was going on, but he just kept telling it to them. And let me tell you something. You might come to church, you might read your Bible, you might hear preaching, and you might not always understand what's going on. Don't give up. Hang in there. Wait. Let it sink in. Let it permeate. Let it go down in deep, especially about the gospel message. Because this is, I promise, the foundation that we have with God. You ain't going to get to heaven because you do enough good works. You're not going to get to heaven because you belong to the right church. You're not going to get to heaven because your goatee is really cool. But if you come to understand why Christ was betrayed and killed, and you come to believe that he was raised on the third day, the Bible says you shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it doesn't say you might be saved. It doesn't say you could be saved possibly. It says you will be saved. Amen? This is where our foundation is. And it's so cool in this passage that we get this explanation of the gospel right when the disciples are going to have this argument about who's the greatest. So Jesus says, I'm about to be killed, boys. Rejected, betrayed, turned over, tried, crucified, raised up. And they're like, yeah, but which one of us is going to be the greatest? Which one of us is going to be the coolest? Who are you going to use more? Are you going to use him more than me? Are you going to use them more than us? Who are you going to work with the best? And they started disputing among themselves. Oh, man. We do this all the time. We fall into these weird traps of talking and comparing who's going to be the greatest, who's the most useful. Which denomination is the best? One of them's got to be the best. What church in Grenada is the best? All right, I mean, that's easy. Which football team's the best? College football team. I still ain't heard the right answer. On three, yell out the best football team. 1, 2, 3. I heard, Omizamuzi, Zura, Sarima. Y'all listen. We start losing what in the world we were made for as soon as we start trying to figure out who the greatest is. And we start comparing ourselves with ourselves and all those things. I'm going to give us a couple things from this passage right here. Right after Jesus explained it. Notice this, one of the funny things. I can imagine, y'all, don't imagine hanging out with Jesus is always like sorrowful and all drawn up and things. There's some humor. Now, we get to see some of this. I don't think this was humorous for them at the time because they were disputing about this, and Jesus said, "What were y'all arguing about?" And it says they stayed silent. You ever come in on a group of kids talking about something they shouldn't talk? What are y'all talking about? And these were grown men. That makes it all the funnier to me. Here's a bunch of grown men all shut up in the face of Jesus. They're like, nothing. We didn't say nothing. Didn't talk about who the greatest was or anything. Nothing like that. Mm-mm. They were embarrassed. You know, they're a little ashamed. But we're going to go through, and here's a couple things I feel like God, when we're talking about who's the greatest. And between verses 33 and 41, I try to give us some things that just kind of popped out at me, okay? Number one, if you're asking who the greatest is, it ain't you. Let me tell you about those who walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus wasn't going around patting himself on the back, yelling, "I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest." Okay? If you're worried about being the greatest, you're probably not doing what it is you're supposed to be doing to be the greatest. You know, if I got to look and compare myself with you and them and all this stuff, I it's not me, okay? I can tell you, even if you're not doing that, it's not you anyway, right? It's not us. It's not about us, and we've said that, and we'll say that 100 times. As long as this church is here, there's going to be a mantra that says, it's not about us. And they kind of got caught up in that, okay? But let me tell you another principle I see. It's the too busy to care. Too busy serving Jesus to care about who the greatest is. You know, in the book of, I almost said in the book of Nicodemus. That's why y'all have your Bibles. You watch me. Some of y'all are like, "I don't think I've ever read the book of Nicodemus. Where is that?" It's over there it's in the first Old Testament, the really, really Old Testament. Anyway, in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's doing he's rebuilding this wall. And he's got these enemies who keep trying to distract him. Like, "Come on, talk with me. Come on down here. Come have a conference with us. Come on, have breakfast with us. Have some coffee. We want to talk to you. We want to." And what they were really trying to just distract him from his work. They were really trying to jump him. They was going to beat him up, whop him, kill him, whatever. They didn't want him doing what he was doing anymore. But Nehemiah was so slick, he sent him back a letter. He said, "Why should I leave such a great work to come meet with y'all?" In other words, I've got my work cut out for me serving God. I don't need to mess around with y'all right now just to see who's tougher and arm wrestle and all that stuff. I don't need any of that business. I'm doing a great work here. Let me tell you, I believe this. When we get caught up and Jesus is our focus, we're going to be serving Him, and we're going to be too busy to care whether or not we compare to the church down the street or the preacher over here or over there. But I also have this other theory. This is just theory, right? We're just getting theoretical at this point, all right? You hear me? The best church, the best preacher, the best evangelists, the best witnesses, the best Christian friends or co-workers are the ones God uses to lead you and your family closer to Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about this one day. I was praying. There's a family in church who is praying for their family. And their family was up in North Carolina. And they said, and they weren't walking with the Lord. They knew the Lord, but they weren't walking with the Lord. And there was a church that started reaching out to them and ministering to them. And they came, and it might have been one of them that did make a profession of faith. I don't want to put this family on the spot because they're in here. But anyway, point being, God did a work in that family's life. And I said, you know what? That's the best church on earth right now. You know, there might be bigger churches and richer churches and prettier churches, but there wasn't any other church God used to reach that man's son and his family. You know what that meant to that family? To me, I think that was the best church, the one who was just serving Jesus. Not the one comparing themselves and measuring themselves, but the one who was just doing the work. That was the best church in the world. Now, there's evangelists who've won millions of people to the Lord, right? Billy Graham's won 1 million people to the Lord. More. I don't know how many. Trillions. I don't know. I guess not trillions. But, you know, he led a lot of people to the Lord. He didn't lead me to the Lord. God used a man named Gary Heim who was barely articulate. He mumbled. "I'm going to tell you about Jesus now. You're going to accept him or not. I don't know, but I'm going to tell him." Okay. God opened my ears up so I could hear him. And he shared the gospel message with me. So, you know, you could take 100 Billy Grahams, and that's great. And he's awesome. And I praise God for him. But want to know who the best witness was at that time? Was that dude who was barely articulate, who took a track out of his bedroom and just said, let me tell you the gospel story. That one was the best for me. That's who I needed. That's who God used. You know, we don't have to worry about being the biggest, the brightest. We're already the best looking, okay? But we don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Well, nobody even laughed. Y'all are like, we know we're good looking. God's going to rebuke our pride one of these days. We know we're good looking. We know we're a good looking church. You don't become the best because you're trying to become the best. You become the best because you've yielded yourself to the one who really is the greatest. And that's Jesus Christ. You're not trying to pursue. You know, I hear a lot of folks pursuing. We're pursuing excellence. Well, that's fine. Is excellence your Savior? Maybe you ought to be pursuing your Savior. Allow Him to do what He needs to do in your life. We're pursuing greatness. Well, that's great. When you find Him, does He live in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God? Greatness? No. Why don't you pursue Jesus? And see, then watch how He adds all these things to us. Now listen, He perfectly describes it right here. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. He's showing us the way. He's saying, he's like, just don't get caught up in all this. Just, it's okay to wait. You don't have to be first in line. You don't have to be the first on this. Just serve the Lord. Now the next thing we see in this whole deal is that there was a competition. I'm cool with competition. I'm not against competition if it's for funsies. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about some fun. You know, let's compete for fun. I like playing card games. We do it for fun. I like playing checkers. I like winning for fun. You know, me and Rick Shepherd, he pastors the Methodist church down the road on the left. Grace, some of y'all, if you come this way, you pass it every Sunday when you come to this church. He and I are in a goatee growing contest, and right now, his is a lot wider than mine is, but mine's bigger. You know what I'm saying? So I'm winning right now, okay? I like that kind of competition. That's great. But do you hear what happened here amongst the disciples? John says, we saw somebody doing something in your name, and they weren't our kind. They didn't follow us in our way, so we told them, don't do it. And what did Jesus tell them? Good job, John, because we don't want those guys out there, you know, doing weird things without our permission. You know, some people just think they can serve Jesus without being controlled by the rest of us. I don't know who they are. We don't like them. That's not the authorized version. Is that what Jesus said? He might have had that accent, but that's not what he said. What'd he say? Don't forbid them. Man, let them do ministry in the name of Jesus. Would that not revolutionize what the body of Christ does just in Grenada? Stop talking bad about what them other folks are doing. Let them do ministry in the name of Jesus. It's all right. Don't be afraid of them. Why don't you trust God to be the one who can control things? Now, we want to make sure we're preaching the pure gospel, preaching the Word of God, amen? But we don't got to be the ones who control every little thing of what's going on. We don't got to say, always the right way. Our preacher's always right. I mean, that's true in your guys' case, but it can't be for everybody. Have a little passion, have a little compassion on folks. They're coming to get me. I got to go back to the farm. In Grenada, Mississippi, in the United States of America, in the world, Christians got to get on the same team. It ain't going to be a Baptist team. It ain't going to be a Methodist team or a Nazarene team or I almost said tree or Pentecostal tree or this team or that team. Okay? All those things can exist and they're fine. They have their place. It's about preference and tradition. Denominations protect preference and tradition. That's it. Nothing less important than that. Nothing more important than that. We're going to be on Team Jesus, and we just need to recognize some people do it a little different. They don't all follow us the same way we do. But I'm going to tell you something somewhere, and I believe in this generation we can do it because I know about most people here, you don't like church, which is weird because you're here, right? But do you know what I know about this church? This church was set up for people who didn't like church could come to church. and hear the Word of God. All right? Because we believe in the Word of God, we believe in what it does, and we believe we can be on the same team with anybody who's lifting up the name of Jesus, no matter what their color, no matter where they come from, and all those things. We need to be on the same team. Amen? Have you ever seen, I had a privilege, just the privilege, of coaching both of my sons when they started off early in soccer. Now, I've never played soccer in my life, ever. I know kick the ball in the net. But when they're 5 years old, that's all you need to know. Right? That's it. But you keep yelling out this one thing. You keep yelling out, same team! Same team! Because as soon as the ball hits the field, everybody from both teams clots up like a big old magnet on that thing, and they're all kicking it. Ah, ah, ah. I can only imagine that same thing happens in upward basketball. You throw the basketball in it, all of a sudden everybody's like trying to fight. Dudes in the same uniform trying to steal the ball from one another. And it's kind of silly. But it's funny because you're like, they're five. It's okay. But then, in church, we've seen grown folks like, you belong with us. No, you belong with us. You belong with us. And you just want to say, same team. Same team. It's okay. It's not silly anymore when we're grown. It's not cute. After I started getting bigger and growing, my stepdad used to say, you know, you ain't cute anymore. You done passed that cute stage. You used to be young and cute, but now you're just, yep. You got problems, boy. You know, it's not cute. You know, somewhere in the body of Christ, we got to say, this ain't cute. It's not funny. Holding on to denominationalism, like, you know, with claws and teeth. Man, let's just say we're on the same team because Jesus Christ made us on the same team. Let's humbly accept that we don't have a market on Jesus. We don't have it cornered. You know, we got to play well. Play better with others. Amen? So those are some of the things. And the last thing is just to say, if I haven't said it, because they ask the question, who's the greatest? And I just think it ought to be answered. Who is the greatest? I know it's such a Sunday answer, right? But let's give it with some gusto. Jesus on three. One, two, three. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus is the greatest. You know, that's why I said it's so ironic that they have this conversation right after Jesus is telling them that he's about to be killed and raised up from the dead. And they're like, well, which one of us, you know, how do you get distracted with you if Jesus is your focus? It's real hard to get distracted and caught up in us when Jesus is our focus, okay? All right. Now we're going to move on to the warning. I don't want to overlook that Jesus took a little kid up in his arms, but I don't want to get caught up in that either. So before we get to the warning, and we'll have some warning about these kids, but Jesus brought up a little kid and just sat him in his arms like Miss Tina just did David right there, and now they're feeding, now I'm pointing them out, and now she's like, why did you do that? And anyway, she's just feeding little David Michael, and he's smiling. Hey, David. Hey, buddy. You going to be all right? Okay, there you go. Jesus plunks up a little kid. I don't know where he got the little kid. He's just like a little rent-a-kid, like, who's got a kid? Right here. And pulls him up and pulls him on and says, look, this kid's, if Jesus is holding him in his arms like Miss Tina's holding David, what does that mean? That means that kid must have felt comfortable, right? That little kid felt safe. What if you asked that kid why he felt comfortable and safe? Why do you feel comfortable with that weird Jewish man holding you right now? What do you think the kid would say? He got no answer for why. He just feels comfortable. He just felt okay. You know, there's something simple about the child's mind that says, I know who loves me, I know who takes care of me, and I'm comfortable with them. And Jesus is putting up this very simple explanation saying, you need to be more like a child than you need to be like a scholar who can answer in bullet point fashion five reasons why you're comfortable on Jesus' lap. You just need to say, I know he loves me and I love him too. There wouldn't be no dispute, okay? Let's move on to this warning. We got warning, warning, warning. We're going to look at it as a whole and just bring some of these things out. First, this warning is true. Jesus doesn't fake warn us. He doesn't fake us out. It's better. He's going to say in this, it'd be better if you recall one of these children, one of these little ones who believe in me, to stumble, it'd be better to have a chain and a big rock tied around your neck and thrown into the ocean. Is that true? Yes, it's true. He says it'd be better to have your hand cut off, your foot cut off, and your eye plucked out and go to heaven than it would be to have both hands, both eyes, both feet, and go to hell. Is that true? Yes, it is. Yes, it is true. Okay? Hell is real. Hell is hot. And apparently there's very hungry worms down there that are always doing their deal. Okay? There's nowhere in the Bible where we get any kind of idea that there is not two eternally real destinations for everybody to go. In this passage, he calls the one life, and the other one he calls hell. Life is better than hell. Eternal life is better than hell. Heaven is better than hell. It's just true. Okay? Now, we need to understand that it can be true, like it is, but still be figurative in its explanation. Let me tell you that Jesus was not intending for us to cut off our parts. And I'll tell you why I think one of the main reasons. Because if I were to cut off my right hand and pluck out my right eye and cut off my right foot, I could still sin with my left eye, my left hand, and my left foot. If we were all to cut off a hand, a foot, and an eye, you know what we'd be? We would be one hand, one foot, one eye, frying purple sinner people. That's who we'd be. Okay? It ain't going to change your soul. What Jesus is saying and emphasizing is this. You need to go to all means possible to prioritize the values of heaven over earth. And if you got to lose the most valuable things on earth in order to go, in order to walk right with God, it's okay. It's figurative. God doesn't want us dismembering. It's not effective. And you know what? Ain't none of y'all in here believe that it's effective either. You know how I know? Because I can look you in the eyes. And I know every one of y'all have used your peepers to peep at something you shouldn't have been peeping. And if you got two hands, raise them up. Ain't none of y'all so concerned about going to hell that you done chopped off anything yet, right? So what I know about y'all already, and myself included, is that when I see this, I don't take it to mean that the Lord our God wants us disfiguring ourselves to somehow be more sanctified and holy. But he is telling us that the most valuable things on earth aren't worth keeping if it means going to hell as opposed to going to heaven. Okay? And there's a cost to losing some of those things. Be it, we all instantly understand the cost of losing an eye or a foot or a hand. But sometimes, you know, whatever it is, it might be this habit or this friend or this job or this security or whatever it might be. Okay? There's things on earth that we can say, it's not worth keeping if it's going to divert me from the road God has me on. I'd rather lose it than keep it. Okay? And this is what he's getting to. So, I know this is one of those things that bring up a lot of questions, and people are like, well, should I chop off my hand because I just hit my wife, and your wife's like, she said I should chop off my hand. And, you know, if you just hit your wife with your right hand, don't ask her if you should chop it off as a way of repentance, because she'd be like, I think so. I'll help you. I'll help you. I already got the saw. You know, we'll be all right. The point being, God, he's telling us, look, don't let anything get in your way. Don't let anything, no matter how valuable you may think it is, don't let anything distract you from Jesus Christ and what he has going for you. Don't let anything take you out. The last warning is that same kind of warning. It's the warning of the salt. And this warning's for us. There's no doubt to me. There's no doubt to me this, that though God can use all of us and has made us all for a purpose, that we can take ourselves out of being useful. We can take ourselves out of being useful. Now, y'all know, and I'll just say it, it's all right. I don't believe. I know I have a lot of friends who believe this and interpret this way, but I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe if God gives you eternal life and you have it for 10 years and lose it, that it was eternal. Just wasn't. That's just math. I don't believe that you can be brought into the family of God and be divorced out of the family of God. I don't think you can even check yourself out of the family of God. It's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. I don't believe if you become a flock in sheep in the flock of God, that the good shepherd is going to let you be lost. I don't believe if you're part of the body of Christ that you're ever going to be amputated. Okay? That's just that. But I'm going to tell you this. There's some things that become useless. There was a whole church in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, Church of Laodicea. And he said, y'all become useless. It makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. I wish you was hot and useful and therapeutic, or I wish you was cold and refreshing, but you're lukewarm. In that city, they didn't have water. They had these aqueducts bringing the water. If it became lukewarm, it was stagnant. It was no good. It was full of stuff. It was useless. And he says, ugh. Did he say, now I don't want you with me? No, he said, I'm counseling you now to come and get what I got that you need. So you think you've got it all, rich and well-clothed, and you can see well. He said, but you're blind, you're poor, and you're naked, and I can give you what you need. I need to step back here. The warning is this. We can, even in God's hand, become useless to Him. Now, He can change us back, just like you can resharpen a tool and you can redo things like that. But y'all, listen to me. Listen to the warning of those who come to church week in and week out and hear the word week in and week out and hear an invitation week in and week out. And they begin to become hardened to that, and they become farther away, and it just becomes so commonplace, and they're so familiar with what the Bible says and what Jesus wants, to where they don't think they even got to do what He says do anymore, and they don't even got to go where He says go anymore, and they don't think they have to give what He says give anymore. You reckon that you're going to be useful still? You're just going to be used on your times, you know, your time schedule? Can you imagine a carpenter coming to a shop and the saw looking up at him and saying, my teeth are sore, I don't want to be used today. Back in that time, you remember the father coming to his sons and saying, come on, I need you to come out with me today. And they say, nah, I'm good, I ain't going to do it. You know, how far are we going to push until we not lose our value? Even if your son tells you he ain't going to do it, does he stop being your son? You don't lose your value. You lose your purpose and your usefulness. That don't mean you can't be polished and sharpened and retooled. So I wonder today, one of the ways, and let me just say this, one of the ways we become useless in that situation, we lose part of our purpose, is when we're fighting about who's the greatest. When we're competing with one another. When we become a stumbling block of faith instead of a building block. Okay? He said, if you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it's not good. If you lose your flavor, your saltiness, to me, it says, by having peace with one another. When I hear that having peace with one another, it reminds me Jesus said that we ought to love one another the way He loved us, and that when we love one another the way He loves us, that the whole world will know that we're His disciples. This whole conversation that they were having started while they were disputing with one another. And I believe this warning to them and to us was this. Watch your rhetoric. Watch your fighting. Watch how you treat one another, that you don't lose your usefulness before God. Don't take yourself out. Man, there's a great mission. I don't know if y'all could hear it, but I could hear and I saw the enthusiasm of those who just came off mission for God in our worship service today. I don't know if y'all heard it or picked it up, but I heard it and I saw it, and it's exciting to me. God has something for all of us. God has a mission for us. God has somebody for us to treat with the love of Christ. God has something for all of us. And y'all, we don't want to keep stepping back. We don't want to keep rejecting it. We don't want to keep saying no. It's not time for me. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. Now look, not everybody does everything, okay? Some people are really extroverted and just wide open out there. I don't know anybody like that, but I mean, I know there's some exist, okay? Some people are very introverted. You know what I mean? They might rather cut off their right hand than be up here saying all this stuff and doing these things right now. But God knows how to use both, right? Our personality traits are given to us by God. It's not a secret to Him. Here's the key, saying, Lord, I know You're the greatest, and I'm here for You to use me in Your purpose right now, anytime You want to. My yes is on the table. That's where He was trying to get His disciples to. That's where He wants to get us to today. Do you want to get there today? We're going to have a time of invitation. And as we do, this is the invitation. The invitation is always twofold at least. One part of the invitation is for those who may have come in, you might have come in, and you need saving. I love that song, the way it says, it's like, I forget how it says now, but it says, you need saving, freedom or saving. Do you need freedom or saving? I'm like, that's just so cool. You might have came in here today needing saving. I don't know. Ain't no sense in being shy about it. I don't want nobody to know I need saving. We all need saving. And if you ain't been saved yet, you need to be saved or you won't be saved. We all need saving. Ain't no shame in that. So if you need saving, look, these beautiful kneelers are down here. I love them. They're new, so I'm bragging on them still. So you come down and you can just say, Lord, you know what this means? This is surrender. In every country in the world, if you do this, it means you surrender. If you need to surrender to Christ, just come up there in your spirit and say, I surrender. Now, the other part of the invitation is this. If you're a disciple of Christ and you've been caught up with thinking who's the greatest and who's the best and all these other things, it's so easy to get sucked into this world of competition. Matter of fact, the body of Christ right now is still divided, thinking who's better, Trump or Hillary or this person or that person. We still get divided along those dumb lines. Because the kingdom of God's going to outlast every nation, and we'll just leave all that stuff alone. Say, I ain't going to fight my brother about politics. I'm not going to demean my sister about politics. Let her like who she likes. I don't care. What do you think about Jesus? If they say He's the greatest, then we're on the same team. Let's go together. If you've been caught up in this whirlwind of trying to figure out who's best, I invite you down here just to simply, like a child, say, you know what? It's about Jesus. It sounds too simple. It sounds too... They really are coming for me. It sounds too easy, but I promise it wasn't easy for Him. If you think faith is so easy, remember who bought our pardon. It wasn't easy for Him. It's easy for you, but it's because He paid it. Okay? So now's your time. If you need to do business with God on anything, now's your time. Let me pray. Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And I pray as we do business with You that You'd be glorified, that You'd move in Your church, and that You'd bring us to the point where we're just so happy in Jesus that we share Him, that we're just proud of Him, and that we're growing in Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward to take the morning offering. I want to tell you about the invitation. You know, we put these up here because sometimes you got to make a response, and it just don't pay to leave out of this place because it's on your mind, it's on your heart, and you need to make it. But I also don't want us to fall in the trap like some have, the thinking that God only works inside buildings and things, right? Because it might be later on tonight God puts something on your mind and heart and you need to respond to Him then. Maybe He starts something now that He's going to finish later on, and that's when you need to respond. I trust God to complete whatever He starts in your life. It ain't got to be verified by me or anybody else. I trust God to do God's business. Amen? Now we're going to take up this offering, and we just take it up for the glory of God and for the bills. That's the two things we take it up for. It's a way of worshiping God in a tangible means. We live in a place that's consumed money-wise. Everybody likes it. And so to me, it's one of those times of high worship where we say, thank you, Lord. We see you as the giver of all good things. And so we return a portion and just saying thank you, and that we love you and we trust you. Amen. Father God, as we take up this offering, I pray you be glorified in it. And Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn this thing. It's on. All right. Yes.
Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a setup team here to set up for the Wild Game Supper. If you can, please.
I ain't going to do that no more.
Wow.
Just talk at me.
Okay. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a setup crew here to prepare the church for the Wild Game Supper. If you can come help us, it would be greatly appreciated. We're going to hopefully be out of here by 12 so we can go home and prepare our Wild Game meal for that night. Thank you.
Amen. All right, I'm going to ask our new members who joined the church this last Sunday, come and stand up here. Yep. You don't have to describe yourself or say anything. You know, except for why you believe the Trinity is theologically accurate. No, you don't have to do that. And it is theologically accurate, by the way, but you don't have to explain it. But you do need to save your name. And do me a favor, hand me that. You just got to say your name. Everybody got their name? Y'all, we're just glad when God leads people to join Christ Community Church. It's an awesome thing. It's a privilege. It's an honor for us. And I just want us all to be able to share in it. And that way, when you can see these folks in Walmart, you don't go, hey, brother. Or you know how you walk up to people and be like, hey, what church you go to? You're like, Christ Community. They're like, I go there too. I don't see. You know, it's one of those weird things. So these are the newest members. Some of them have been attending for a long time. We already know them and love them. But anyways, this is them, and I just want you to be able to hear their name from their mouth. And then we're just going to applaud and welcome them here. And then if you can catch one, you can hug them. But remember, Remember, it's a hug and release program, okay? So if you do catch one, you hug them three taps, pop, 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 and then you're out. All right? Don't get carried away. All right.
Lenny Bailey.
That's awesome.
Sarah Nell.
Is that your real name?
It is my real name.
That's really cool.
Amanda Mooney.
Woo!
Jason Mooney.
There's the Mooneys.
Denise Parks.
All right, Miss Denise.
Andrea Edwards.
All right.
Rodney Edwards.
All right, look at y'all.
Keith Whipple.
Say it one more time.
Keith Whipple.
He's got a voice for radio. Do you hear that? I ain't saying nothing about the other parts for radio, but anyway, that's all right there.
Angela.
Wade Miles.
All right. These are our folks. And now there's some others I'll introduce. I'll catch them. Nobody gets away. Once you join, we can tease you, bring you up here, mock you, all those things. So we have other people to bring and mock next time. But let's give these hands. Let's give the Lord a hand for these folks joining. Father God, and you, there's Jamie. Jamie is waving. Wave, Jamie. Don't make a liar out of me, man. If you took a tube that you're supposed to fill up with quarters and bring back, talk to Jamie. If you have it, give it back to Jamie. If you don't have it, you need to explain. You need some splaining. No, I don't know. I'm sure you get an extension on it. We're not like the bank. All right, let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We love you, Lord. And we give you all the praise. Thank you for meeting with us, and you're awesome. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for letting me be your pastor. I love you all. Ready? Break. Yeah, I said it. You don't have to stay up here if you don't want to. I didn't want to impede on nobody. You know what I'm saying? Just come on. But if they catch, hey, y'all catch one, hug one. They're getting away.
I know, right?
Hey, they're getting away. They're getting